Praise God. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I should just give Pastor Todd the other five scriptures I had. And I had asked for the easel and a magic marker, but I'm going to explain to you why I wanted that. What Pastor Todd talked about so far is what, you know, like you get instructions, you know, you get a kid's toy or you get some project, you know, like, because guys like projects, you know, we have all get all of our tools out. And then, yeah, and then, you know, my wife's project is buying shoes and pocketbooks. That doesn't take too much, you know. But we get these instructions, and in the instructions, they always have some little picture that you really can't tell what it is. And what they do is they draw a line out from it, and then they have a blow-up bubble. And then that in that blow-up bubble, they change the scale, and you can say, oh, that's what it is. And that's how it goes together. Okay? So that's what Pastor Todd and I are doing today. We're tag teaming. So I'm going to explain to you exactly what he said. Okay? I'm going to blow it up some. So today, say it with me, today.
Today.
I am going to be
forever changed.
Today.
Today.
My life
is going to be forever changed.
It's going to be forever changed today.
Yeah.
Pastor Todd has had a series that's called Getting in Alignment. And then we, you know, Wanda's had a series and Kelvin has been adding to it about prayer. So this is going to encompass those two things. And plus the new project we have, the new thing that we're doing about being school guard, Operation School Guard. Okay. So getting in alignment, you know, most of the time when you hear getting in alignment, you think of getting in a certain place, in the right place. Right. And I remember when it first started with Pastor Todd, Pastor Rob was still here, and he was sitting in these seats here with Pastor Tricia and Pastor Rob, and Pastor Todd and Nikki was sitting down there, and Pastor Todd wouldn't take this seat because he was honoring Pastor Rob. But what happened was he had to change his thinking in order to get into the right place. And when he did, we noticed a difference just like that. And he did too. So that's what this is about. Getting in alignment doesn't necessarily have to mean, necessarily have to do with where you are. It doesn't necessarily mean like, hey, you need to get into church and be an usher. It means your thinking has to be right, and that'll prompt you to be where you need to be.
Amen.
You know, you've ever put money in the offering, believe in God, and over 20 years, your finances hadn't gotten any better. Come on, let's be real. We have some victories, but overall, have you ever come in and believe you have something going on in your body and you believe God, and it's not gotten any better? Or a situation, and it's not getting any better? Well, today will change your life forever.
Amen.
Okay? Because getting an alignment has to do with your thinking. So it starts with your thinking. So what I'm going to have Mike Dove do is I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 55. Okay? And you can start at verse 1. And
wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. Come to me, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy priceless spiritual wine and milk, without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for what does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, the profuseness of spiritual joy. Incline your ear, submit and consent to the divine will, and come to me. Hear, and your soul will revive, and I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even the sure mercy, kindness, goodwill, and compassion promised to David. Behold, I have appointed him, David, as a representative of the Messiah, or the Messiah himself, to be a witness, one who shall testify of salvation to the nations, a prince and commander to the peoples. Behold, you, Israel, shall call nations that you know not, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found, claiming him by necessity and by right. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have love, pity, and mercy for him, and to our God, for he will multiply to him his abundant pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens, and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect or useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out from the spiritual exile caused by sin and evil into the homeland with joy, and be led forth by your leader, the Lord himself and his word, with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name of renown, for an everlasting sign of jubilant exaltation and memorial to his praise, which shall not be cut off.
Praise God. Pastor Todd and Nikki experienced the sure mercies of God, of David. There is no way that that vehicle should not have hit you. Except but God.
Amen.
And we've all experienced that. But I want to show you how to multiply that. And it says, the scripture says, hey, everybody come and listen. You can do physical things in this world, money and silver and gold, and you can try to buy things to satisfy, but there's only one thing that satisfies. So he says, come to me and I'll give you food and drink for your soul. Food and drink, spiritual food and drink for your soul, so that you can experience the sure mercies of David. And he says, he goes on down and he says, for my ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. So he says, as the snow and the rain comes down, just how my word goes, and it waters the earth and does not return to me void, but it brings forth fruit. And because of the fruit it will bring forth, people will see it. People will flock to you. People will come to you from everywhere. It'll be a blessing. And the trees of the field, those are people. And the hills and the mountains, those are people, will clap their hands and rejoice. And it says it'll bring up the myrtle tree and the fir tree. Those are people. Evergreens. You know what? They don't die out. They prosper in every season. So he says, your thinking is what the problem is. Listen, anybody know who Jeff Bezos is? He's the CEO of Amazon. He is worth $140 to $160 billion. Bill Gates is worth $90 to $95 billion. The Koch brothers who make Coca-Cola, Mark Zuckerberg and Warren Buffett, they're all worth around $80 to $83 billion. Elon Musk is worth $19 billion. You know the difference between a poor man and a rich man? It's his thinking. The difference between a homeless person on the street of Richmond and Jeff Bezos is their thinking. Is their thinking. So Pastor Todd asked you, which was in my notes, did you come expecting? Because we ask that question all the time. Did you come expecting?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to show you how to do that. Okay? Now, so I'm going to go through a lot of scripture, but I'm going to only ask Mike to read two parts of scripture. So he read one, and the other one's going to be Mark, the fourth chapter. But right now, we're going to go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And I'm going to show you about God's people, the Israelites, about 1.5 million to almost 2 million people. And God delivered them, right? We know the story. So that's why we're not going to read those to take up time. So he delivered them from Egypt. And in Hebrews, the end of the third chapter and the fourth chapter, it says that God was not pleased with them. He said, you know what? They were baptized into baptism. They were baptized in the water. They all drank the same spiritual, right? They were baptized. They all drank the same water. They were baptized. But what? Guess what? God was not pleased with them. And he said, they will never enter into my rest. You know why? Because they did not mix their faith with the word of God. So their bodies were strewn over the desert. Listen, so everybody died from the age of over 20 to old age. All of them died. But everybody 20 and under, they lived. The only ones that did not die were Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb said he was 85 when they went into the land. So they wandered 40 years and all of those people's bodies were strewn all over the place. But they had the opportunity to go in, but they did not. 12 spies sent in, 10 came back with a bad report, and only 2 people believed what God said. 20% of the church, 20% of their representatives, 20% of the representatives believe what God said. The other 80% made the other people circle around in the desert for 40 years. Whew. Let me tell you, there are millions of God's people all over the world. And that is the most precious gift in a cemetery is God's people. They believe God. They love God. They grew up in they do right, and they believe God, but they don't all fulfill their destiny, and they die and they go to heaven and they get their reward. But we want something different. Yes. We want to achieve our destiny. And we want what God says, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Amen. That's the best thing.
Amen.
Okay, so let me explain to you faith. We've heard it said a lot. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. So if you turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and the first 6 verses, but we're going to concentrate on verse 1 right now. And it says this in the Amplified, basically. It says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We've all heard that, right?
Amen.
Faith is a what?
Substance.
Faith is a what?
Substance.
Come on. Faith is a what?
Substance.
And it is the evidence. Faith is a substance of things what?
Hoped for.
Things what?
Hoped for.
Okay. Now, to save time, I'm going to give you a key. Faith is the substance of things. Hope is imagination. I just changed your life. Faith is the substance of things that you imagine. Hope is an expectation of things. If I said you guys all won the lotto, tonight you couldn't sleep. I don't gamble. I tell you what, if I had the winning ticket, I'd be down there tomorrow. Pastor Todd would be with me. And it'd be a stream of y'all, too. I said, if everybody could come help me tote it home, it'd be a bunch of people with me. Well, that money becomes holy when we touch it. I didn't say I was going down to buy a ticket, but I have had bosses buy tickets for our group. You think I threw it away? Oh, no, I kept that ticket. If it wins, hey. I wasn't going down there to gamble. But listen, faith is a substance. That's a substance. Air is a substance that you can't see. Faith is a substance of things imagined. Wow. And the evidence of things you can't see. You can't see an imagination. I can't see Pastor Todd's imagination unless he does something to let me know. And it is the title deed that proves that I have something. Woo! We'll come back to that. Chew on that. Remember, over in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, it says, I'm going to give you spiritual food to food. What do you do with food? You consume it. You chew on it. I'm going to give you brain food to chew on to make a substance. I'm making connections for you guys if you made those leaps. Okay, so let's look at an example of that. Genesis, the 11th chapter. Okay, Genesis, the 11th chapter. So you can put them up on the screen, but I'm not going to read down them. I'm just going to paraphrase them, and then you guys can kind of peruse it, look down and see, you know. So Genesis, the 11th chapter is about the Tower of Babel. And it says, and the earth began to, you know, populate, and people moved out over a plain called Shinar. And this group of people decided that they were going to live there, and they all spoke one language. Right? They communicated. And they said, let us build a city, and let us build a tower. Right? And let this tower reach unto heaven, and let us make a name for ourselves in the earth, for ourselves. Now, the historian said that they were worshiping astrology and some other gods and whatever, but their thing was, they're going to make a name for themselves. Okay? So, apparently the angels went to God and said, hey boss, you see what's going on down there? So, the Lord was concerned enough that he came down himself, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they said, well, we'll go see it ourselves. And they got down there, and the report was this. You know what? They're all saying the same thing, and they have one idea. They're all saying the same thing, and they all have the same project, or they all have the same thought. And he says, you know what? We're going to confuse them, because nothing can be withheld from them that they can imagine. They started to use faith for not good purposes. They started to speak and have imaginations. And God says, if they can do this, then nothing can be withheld from them. Can you imagine? They had a key. See, faith doesn't just work for Christians. Faith just doesn't work for Christians. How do you think Jeff Bezos got so wealthy? Okay. So let's make another leap. Okay. Let's give some examples. So we're going to go to the lady with the issue of blood. Remember that? In Jairus. So we're going to go to Mark the fifth chapter, and it says in the fourth chapter before then, it says that Jesus was teaching the people at the shore, and it was so many people that they were crowding him that he had to get off the shore and go into the boat, right, and teach them from the boat. So there's thousands of people there. They're crowding around him. So after he gets through teaching them, they pull up anchor, they leave, they go across the lake, and He delivers, he goes to Gennesaret and he delivers the demonic of Gennesaret and casts the 6,000 demons out of him. And they go, you know, the pigs run into the, they go, the demons go into the pigs and the pigs run into the water. And they said, depart from us, because they see what Jesus has done. He comes back to the same side that he had left from, where the thousands of people are. And it says that a man came to him. And I think that's Mark 5:21. And his name is Jairus. He's the local synagogue leader or the local pastor. And he comes and he kneels before Jesus and he says, he's worshiping Jesus and he says, would you come and heal my daughter? She's at the point of death. And Jesus has compassion. And Jesus gets up and he's going with them. And the crowd is following them. And everybody's there. And it's a multitude of people making noise. And so, meanwhile, there's a lady with an issue of blood that's in the community there. And she's had this issue of blood for 12 years. She's had money, and she's tried to use this money to get healed. So she's gone to physicians. Can you imagine the quackery that woman has gone through and what they've done to that woman? Now she has no money. And because she's bleeding, she can't go in public. She's unclean. And if she does go in public, she probably has to wear a garment that says she's unclean. But she's not allowed in public or else she'll be stoned. So she's a prisoner of her own house. She's a prisoner of a disease or a malady. And she's in the house and she's desperate. But she's heard about Jesus. She's heard about his healing touch, his compassion. And she starts to say to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. You know, there's a scripture over in Malachi, and it says the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And you know, on the garment that Jesus has, they got those tassels, and they tie them in such a place, way, that they look like wings. Jesus shows up in the community, and she says, he's the answer. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. And I think the scripture says she kept saying within herself. She kept saying within herself. She kept muttering within herself. She got a picture. She got an image of what she needed. And so it got to the place where the image, the picture, prompted her to do something. So obviously she had to figure out, well, he's got to come this way. And nobody will ever know if I don't dress in my unclean garment. My face will be veiled. Nobody could ever tell the difference. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. She's weak, but her faith has prompted her to come out. And she's walking. She comes out the house and she's a little shy about it. And she's trying to cover her face. And she's coming along. And there's a crowd there because Jesus is coming by. And she's saying, oh, excuse me. Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to trip you. Sorry. Somebody stepped on my bunion. Oh, Lord. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. You know what? She made her way through the press of that crowd. And she came close enough to him and she reached through and she touched one of those wings and pow. The lightnings of heaven flow through her body. She's completely healed. The rivers of loving kindness, the sure mercies of David touches her body and she's well. She shrinks back and Jesus stops and says, who touched me? And Peter says, really? There's thousands of people out here. Everybody's banging up against you, trying to touch you to get healed. And you ask who touches you. So finally, Jesus is looking around and there's a little space and he's looking at every eye. And finally, she comes and falls down in front of him and she tells him what's going on. And he says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Remember, Jesus is walking along with Jairus. Right? He said, her picture made her whole. The substance that she made in her mind and in her heart, that dropped in her heart, you were preaching the message. made her whole when the power of God touched her. Oh, but there's more to the story. There's Jairus right there, the local pastor, her pastor. And he's hearing what she says. Well, she's well now. He can't condemn her. And somebody from his household comes and says, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. Jesus says, don't let go of your picture. Just believe. He had plenty of opportunity to get depressed. You ever have some hope God says something to you and then something comes up and what God said to you goes away? You don't have a grip on it anymore. If you have a picture, you can be healed. If you have a picture, when you throw your money in the basket, you're going to get a return. If you have a picture, you can win. If you have an image, a substance created by the word of God, you. Miss Judy had an image of dream. That's what a dream is, by the Holy Ghost, that says it prompted her to wake up and pray. And she started to mutter and speak to the dream that she had. If you have a picture, you can speak to it and it will happen. If you don't have a picture, all your confessions are is the law. We do that. Watch your confession, everybody. Well, that just kills me. Well, man, I feel so stressed out. Oh, man, I don't have enough money. You know what? And then we do this to each other. Oh, you see there, you're not keeping the law. Because it's not just what you say. It's what you're saying it to. If you speak to the image, then it will happen. How do you think you got into this? If a man believes in his heart that Jesus is raised from the dead, that he's the Son of God, and confesses with his mouth, then he shall be saved. Wow. So let me give you a personal example, okay? Y'all ready? So, y'all know my son Terrence, my youngest. So, he went to Blacksburg. He's playing basketball. This is basketball season. This is maybe his junior year. And when we were kids, and if you ever played a sport, then, or if you just played out in the backyard or whatever, you know, you play basketball and you said, I'm going to make 5 shots in a row before I go home. You're out there another 2 hours. You know, especially if you made it some impossible deal. So I would take Terrence over to the Blacksburg Rec Center because it was only 2 blocks from us. And, you know, rather as opposed to we play in our yard sometime. But here we are over at the rec center. And I would take him over there ever since he was 5. And, you know, every time we go over there, that boy, he would say, before we leave, he would always say, okay, this is the end of the game. And the game's on the line. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And he's got to make this shot before we leave, right? Whether it's some wild hook shot or some long jump shot or whatever. And the thing would always go in. And I was going, how does he do that? On the first try, you know what I'm saying? And I was just like, I can't believe that. And he just keep, you know, I'm just like, okay. So, and time after time, he did that. You know, it's the end of the game. It's the winner. 5, 4, 3. So this is his junior year, and Blacksburg is playing, I think, maybe Hidden Valley. They might have won the state basketball championship the year before that. And so it's a tug of war during the game, and it was at Hidden Valley, and Charlene and I didn't get a chance to go. So I'm listening to it on the radio because they broadcast it over the radio. And I get home, and I said, oh, the game is on. So I turn the game on, and Charlene's in the house doing something. And so the game is going on. It's going back and forth and back and forth. And Blacksburg's got the lead with about 5 seconds left. And Hidden Valley makes a last-second shot, and they go up by 2 points. And there's 2 seconds left on the clock. And so Doug Day calls timeout, And he's right there at the scorer's table. And so Blacksburg is going to get the ball at half court. Here is half court. Blacksburg's going this way to try to score 2 seconds. So Doug Day calls timeout. And Dusty, or anybody who's coached anything, you know, you call a timeout or whatever, you draw up a play. And a lot of times the kids get out there and they don't even line up right. You just go, oh, how long must I be with you? You know, we just did this 5 times in practice yesterday. You know, it's, what's the problem? You know, these are kids that under direct. And so he calls a play. He tells them to go out there and line up. And I'm listening on the radio. And the guy on the radio station, because he's right there at the table, the guy that's doing the radio broadcast. And Doug Day is standing beside him. And the play, I could tell the play is broke down because Doug Day said, Terrence, just come get the ball. And Terrence runs from this side of the court, which they have to go there and score, and he runs back court about 10 or 15 feet. And the boy throws him the ball real quick, you know, because you got 5 seconds to get it in once the referee gives it to him. Terrence takes the dribble, he shoots that ball, and he hits, nothing but nets. And the Blacksburg people are gone wild. The Capes, the Hidden Valley people are in shock. And the announcer says, Terrence Travis has just hit a 50-something foot shot. Can you believe that to win the game? And I'm going, my God, he did it again. How does he do that? And so I said, oh, I can't wait to talk to him. So I gotta wait. I said, wait till they take a shower and they're coming up Christiansburg Mountain. So I waited and I called his cell phone. They're halfway up. T. Hey, Dad, did you listen to the game on the radio? Yes, I did. He said, Dad, you know, the first thing I thought about is when we used to go to the rec center and I used to always shoot up that last second shot. And I said, my God, that's exactly what I was thinking. He made a picture in himself. If you have a picture, you can win.
Amen.
If you don't have a picture, you'll lose. And you'll feel hurt and broken and everything else. But if you have a picture, God has promised that you'll win. Every time. He'll make sure of it by the mercies of God. If you got a picture, you can win. Okay, let me give you another example. You want another example? Here is Joseph. Woo! Joseph comes with a dream. Chapter 37 of Genesis. 2 dreams. His brothers hated him anyway because his father favored the little brat. And he was spoiled. Not only did they envy him, their envy turned to hate. In so much that when he told, and his daddy compounded the thing by making him a multicolored garment and putting it on him, and he's walking around in front of his brothers and they're hating him more every time they can see him. Right? So he has the second dream. Is not only is his brothers bowing, she's bowing down before him, but now the sun and the moon, his mother and his daddy about, his father says, do you actually believe that? So the brothers are going to kill him. Reuben is going to try to save him, but they end up selling the guy. And he goes to Potiphar, but guess what? He prospers in Potiphar's house. The wife lies on him. They throw him in jail, which is on Potiphar's property anyway, because he was the guy in charge of the jail. Okay? So I'm not going to go into a bunch of details about that. But so he had an opportunity to let that dream go. He did not. Matter of fact, he started to perfect that gift within him, because the baker and the cupbearer came with dreams and he interpreted their dreams. It happened. The cupbearer goes out. He ignores his promise to Joseph. But if you hold on to a dream, you can't be buried. If you hold on to a dream, you'll win. If you hold on to a dream, when you throw your money in the bucket, it will produce.
Amen.
So let me show you how this works. This is how the brain works. So you have a room. And this is called the parietal lobe. Okay? Parietal lobe. It has a left side, and a right side. Okay? And say this side is the side that collects all of the information from the senses. Right? Taste, touch, seeing, hearing, smelling. Okay? And it has perception. And this side integrates all of that, makes a file, makes a determination, and then this integrates it with the rest of the body and makes a decision. And so what happens is an olfactory gland called Dusty Cromer stands up and says, "I smell something." And over here, it's the reasoning side says, "What is it?" And Dusty says, "Well, I don't know." And the reasoning side says, "Well, what does it make you feel like? It smells sweet." And the reasoning side says, "Does it have 2 feet? Does it speak softly? Is it a wife?" Dusty says, No. I smell something. And it smells sweet. Anything else? And it makes me a little hungry." So the reasoning side says, "Hey, body, could you take the eyes down there and check it out? Because he's a little slow. Give me some more information." So the eyes go down. And he says, and take your brother, the ears. So they both go down. And Dusty sees Wanda in the kitchen. And the eyes say, "Oh, yeah, something's going on in the kitchen." And so Dusty says, "What's going on?" And Wanda says, "I'm baking chocolate chip cookies." And Dusty was like, "Oh, yeah." So he come back to the parietal lobe and he says, "Hey, the sweet smell I smell, it smells like chocolate chip cookies. And going to be ready in about 10 or 15 minutes." So the reasoning side says, "I'm going to make a file that when you smell that smell, when you smell that certain smell, then it's cookies baking." Okay? So then the reasoning side says, "I'll make a file of it. I'll let the rest of the body know, the salivating glands to salivate, the stomach to say, 'Oh, yeah, well, we're ready for those cookies when they come out,' and affect the rest of the body." Okay? So Dusty has another encounter. He says, "I feel something." The reasoning side said, "Does it have 2 legs? Does it speak softly? Is it soft?" He said, "Well, no." He said, "Well, it's not your wife." He said, "You got any more information? Eyes, ears, could you guys go down there? Take feet, go down there and check it out and see what Dusty's talking about." "Well, this has curves." "Well, you said it wasn't your wife." "And this feels hard." "Oh, and it doesn't have 2 feet, but it's got 4 tires. "Oh, maybe, you know, from my experience, it sounds like a car. What color is that, vet?"
"Red."
"That's the only color vet to get, buddy." So it says, any other information? "Oh, the eye says that it's the color red." And Dusty gets plenty of joy from riding it. So so the body reacts also. So it makes a file. Okay, you see what's going on? So it collects the senses, the information from the senses. It reasons. It makes a file that says, "This is reality," and the file is called belief. That's the substance that faith is. Get it? Let me tell you something special about this parietal lobe. Now, the parietal lobe, God has given it the creative ability. How long have I gone, Pastor? I'm doing all right?
You're good.
Okay. This is an amazing, this thing is right here in the center of your head, in the crown, right below the crown of your head. This thing is amazing. This thing also can create imagination. has the capacity to make images, make pictures, and make sensations. It can make the sensation of sound, smell, touch, all five senses. You guys are looking at me with your eyes wide open. But in the parietal lobe, you can be reclining on a deck chair in the Caribbean, riding on a catamaran with your shoes off and the ocean breeze blowing between your toes, and with a glass of iced tea, tasting a glass of iced tea with a slice of lime in it. With the wind blowing between your toes and between your hair or your scalp. Whichever one you got. With your eyes open. We call it daydreaming. You used to call it. Guess what another name for it is? Make believe. But the mind doesn't know if it's real or not unless you use your will to say, I choose to believe that. Interesting. You use your will and your emotions to decide which one you will believe. You may have a file that says, I've been rejected and hurt, and I'm bitter. But the Word of God says that He can heal the broken heart. You may have a file that says, well, I have an incurable disease. But the Word of God has another file that can replace it. Amen. That says, what? By my stripes, you're healed. Amen. You may have a file that says, you're not getting married. Or, you're going to be lonely the rest of your life. God says He sets the solitary in families. God says He has a Boaz for women who want to be married. God says He has a queen for guys who want to be married. You have a file that's already there. You know, we see that on our computer. You make a file, and then you bring another file and it says, oh, excuse me, I already have a file just like that. Would you like to replace it? Well, you think they got the idea. The central processing unit says, would you like to replace that file? So you have the choice all the time. Would you like to replace that file? It's easy to replace it because that's all you have to do is let your imagination believe the word of God. We don't normally do that. We do that all the time with the things we want. Listen, but you can't use it. God says, this is the way God said use it. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse, it says, brethren, think on these things, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just and pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is of a good report. Those are the things that you're supposed to believe and think on and grab a hold of. Not somebody else's husband, or not robbing a bank, or not stealing. But think on the things that bring blessing. Can you imagine if a husband and a wife got together and did this? Can you imagine if two or three families did it? Can you imagine if a whole church got together? Those people in Genesis 11th chapter, the Tower of Babel, decided we're going to say the same thing. And we're going to use our God-gifted creative ability to guard the schools. That The angels are just waiting for you. So when you're praying, you're just babbling those things. Now let me show you in Mark. This is what I'm going to get you to read, Mike. Is this good?
Amen.
Mark, the fourth chapter. We're going to start at the 10th verse. And we might read through 28. But we see this all the time. I mean, we've seen this scripture a lot. This is the sower sows the word, right? So I just explained to you how the brain works. And this is Jesus telling the disciples the same thing. Okay? Well, I'm not going to have you read it because it might take too much time. But this is what it says. So the 10th verse says, now he's alone with the disciples, right? After he's explained to the crowd. Remember the crowd, he's speaking to them, and then he's giving them a parable, right? So guess what a parable is? Listen, he spoke to them the word of God, and then he gave them a picture. He started them off. He gave them help. They just ignored it. Didn't do anything with it. And that's what happens. So Jesus says, they said, explain it to us. So he says, listen, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. This is the keys to the kingdom that I'm talking about to you today. If you use these, he says, don't you know what this parable means? He says, if you can't figure this one out, the rest of it does you no good. If you can't figure out how it works in your life, then the rest of this does no good. Tithe, throwing the money in tithes, just throwing it in there, it's doing you no good. You might as well go spend it. You might as well just go to the doctor and do the best you can with medicines. So he says, okay, a sower goes out to sow. A farmer goes out to sow his seed or whatever. He's scattering seed on the ground and it's landing on hard ground, and immediately the birds of the air come and get it. He says the devil immediately steals that thought out of your mind or the picture. Got it? He says, here's the second one. He says, God gives you a word. God gives you a picture. God gives you an image. You have an image inside of you. And he says, and all of you are excited about it, but because of the word's sake, the devil makes sure that you're going to run into some adversity and something going on and the whole deal so that you will let go of the image. The third one was, listen, you got the image, and you have this image, and it's going, but the cares of this world, the worries of this world, and everything not having, oh, we don't have enough money. Oh, the sink is not working. Oh, the car's not, all of the cares of the world, and we need to work more time to get more money. He said, all of us, the picture goes away. It's not the picture, it's not the thought that comes and goes, but the thought that stays will determine your destiny. If you can hold on to those thoughts, you can hold on to the word pictures that the word of God gives you, you can win. Amen. So he says, and here's the one, here's on the good heart, the one that receives that image, the one that receives what God says and holds on to it, and holds on to it, he said it will produce 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. If you hold on to it. Then he goes on and he says in verse 24. You got that up here or whatever? 24. He says, for whatever the amount of attention you give to it is the amount of virtue, is the amount of return. He says in verse 28, it says, this is how it works. You start to do this, and first, the blade comes up. And then after the blade, it says the whole ear comes up. And then after the ear, the mature grain in the ear. And then you have the whole picture. And if you have that picture, you're going to get a return. Amen. You're going to get a return from the blade. You're going to get a return from the head or the ear. You're going to get a return from the grain. Listen, the grains in there in the corn stalk are more. You might have one. You might have one stalk. You might have 8 or 10 ears on there, but you're going to have a bunch of grain in there, right? That's what he's talking about. Isn't that interesting? You ever thought about this before? Not really. It is just, listen, it says that the farmer goes about and he plants that seed and he says he goes about his business. He doesn't even think about it. And he says, doesn't even know how it comes up. First the blade, then the ear, then the grain in the ear. And that's the way the heart works. If you just do it and do it and do, and it works. And so let me give you an example. So we have TV. Listen, we spend whatever time we want on social media. We get on Facebook and we spend 4 hours. We get on TV, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, and the fad nowadays is binge watching. Man, I'm going to pile it in for 30 hours. Can you imagine if you just pile it in, just let your imagination go on a scripture that says, hey, you know what? If you give, I cause men to give unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over with men to give to your bosom. How about, he's reading up that scripture. He says, if you give, I'll make all grace and earthly blessing come to you, that you be furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation.
Amen.
Prove me heretowith, if you give your tithes, that I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can't contain.
Amen.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? Simple. He says it doesn't cost you money, but if you spend the time that you spend on video games, if you spend the time that you spend on some, you know, social media, if you spend the time that you spend playing on your phone, that you spend with just scripture. See, it seems dull, but if you start to just make believe and accept it as truth, you'll find out that, wow, I've been doing this for 4 hours. I started doing that about my eyesight. Seeing myself leave the house, getting in the car, and driving again. I did that a couple of days, and I get a phone call from Jaden. I don't know if you guys have seen Jaden, but she's 12, and she's this tall. She says, Papa. I said, yeah, baby, what's going on? She says, I had a dream last night. I said, oh, really? She says, I had a dream you was driving and me and you were going somewhere. I said, girl, you keep having those dreams, girl.
Amen.
So, how long have we been going past overtime? Okay, I want to play a song. And then I want to make a paradigm leap and give you two scriptures and we're gone. So that's it. Bing, bing, bing. That didn't sound good. I'm blaming Kelvin. Two scriptures and then I'm going to, in our thinking. The scripture says this in John, the 14th chapter. I'm going to shock some of you guys. God is not building you a mansion in heaven. That scripture is not even talking about that. It says, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. It's talking about you. He's talking about where he's going to live. If it were not so, I would have told you. So he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Where? A place where you can live in him and him in you and Jesus in you and him in Jesus. Read the rest of that scripture, the verse. It's a whole conversation. He's saying, I'm going to prepare the place so that I could come and live in you. So when that song was being sung, we say he's in this room. No, he's in this room, in your room. That's the problem that they had when they were scattered all over the desert. They did not believe the word of God. People say Jesus lives in your heart, but they don't see that. The scripture says, if in Romans, the 8th chapter, it says, if the spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall also quicken your mortal body. Make alive. Listen, Pastor Todd was talking about eternity and the fleetingness of the human. He has made a point that he wants eternity to come and live in your fleeting life. To breathe his presence in something that's not going to be here this long. But in your spirit's going to live. This body's not going to live that long. But he wants, that's what he was talking about, the sure mercies of David. Because when people see him in you, they will flock to you. The God of the universe, the God who strewn the stars in the sky lives in you. The God who created the heavens and the earth, he lives in you. The God who was raised from the dead, who conquered the death, the hell, and the grave, he lives in us. The God who calls things who not as though they were into existence, he lives in you. That's why he said you'll do greater things, because he's inside of you to make sure that it happens. Listen, up in heaven, they use gold as dirt. You think they're going to build you a house? God is the house. He's your temple. He's the house that you're going to live in. Now, if you want to waste time in I can't say that they won't, but that's not what that verse, those passages of scriptures are talking about. But the devil doesn't want you to know that Jesus lives inside of you for real. Amen. Colossians, the first chapter, the 27th verse says this. I got a secret. It's been hidden from ages. It says, Christ in you is the image of glory. Christ in you is the thing that was imagined that made glory in you. Woo! So when you sing, it's in the room, everything that you need is the presence of God. Your imagination just makes a path for him to manifest everything that you need and everything that your neighbor needs, your kids need, your co-workers need, and everything that this community needs and everything that these schools need. Amen. We can guard these schools. You know why? Because it's not us guarding, it's God. Amen. So it says in the last days, he will give dreams. What? Old men will dream dreams and young men will have, however it goes, you know what I'm talking about. He says he'll pour out his spirit upon all flesh, right? This is the shift he's talking about. Amen. You realizing, aligning your thoughts with God. Amen. The shift that can rock this whole community is that your thinking is God's thinking. Amen. So imagine. Let yourself go in God's goodness, God's love, God's purposes, God's plans. Like Joseph, you know, Joseph went from a whiny snit, a spoiled brat. He had to change. So when you're doing these things, the presence of God is going to change you. You know, it's like when you get married, you think, that's the kind of person I want. No, that's the kind of person you're going to have to be, because you're going to have to change if you're going to stay together. Isn't that right, Pastor Todd? Oh, man, you know she's hot. Oh, you're going to have to change. You know what? Oh, man, her breath smells like carnation milk. You're going to have to change. Oh man, isn't he hot? Let me tell you what, you're going to have to change, girl. Because when he starts leaving socks and shoes around where you don't want them, you're going to have to change. That's what it's up. I told you, Mike, don't leave your stuff like that. Listen, that's what it's all about. When Jesus came here, he didn't go back to heaven the same way he was. The word of God changed forever. He brought us into his presence. I don't want a piece of... Mike and Elaine have a nice house. They're on the golf course. But good Lord, I'll take something in heaven over that. I mean, you know what? We don't have to make payments in heaven. There is no currency in heaven except for praise and worship and glory. They use gold for dirt. For real? They don't even buy stuff in heaven. That's not even an option. Oh, you want to give me something for it? Oh, hey. And we don't do that up here. God started to show me. Listen, speaking to these things, that's what you're speaking to. You're not just making idle confessions. You're speaking to the life of God that's in you, that's showing you things. That's why he can give you the desires of your heart. You don't think that he loves you. He loves you and wants the best for you. That's what you need to see. Amen. 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 Praise God. So, like when praise and worship comes along, that's where you're singing from. You're singing from the throne of God that's right in your heart. Amen. 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 I think we're going to stop there. I've been holding you guys long enough. Okay. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your grace and mercy and what you're doing and what you've done for our hearts and minds today. Our Father, I thank you that we'll never, ever, ever be the same because we have the keys of the kingdom. We have the keys to how to unlock the sure mercies of God and allow you to work with us. And we just bless you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said,